the Lord knows how to bring forth what He needs. So, if you'll bow your heads, we'll run to Him and let Him manifest what He wants today. Amen? Lord Jesus, we come before You. Without You, we can do nothing. So we ask that You would just release grace to us so that we can complete the mission that You've called us to be and to do for 2010. There were two powerful words that came back into my heart for this year, and they're both related. And I heard them coming out during the communion service. And they were recreation and resurrection. Now, how are they related? They both have an ability to change us from what we were to what we need to become. So 2010 will be a time of resurrection and recreation. Now, how long did it take for the Lord to be recreated? 3 days. At the end of 3 days, He was prepared to go into the heavens and to release His blood over the mercy seat. He even told Mary Magdalene, don't touch. There was a reason. When He came back, He says to Thomas, go ahead. Put your fingers. Put your hand on my side. And what have you got for lunch? I can tell you that the dramatic changes that took place in our Savior's body were something that He had a vision of before He began His quest. I believe that when He was on the mountain of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John, you say, well, how come the other nine weren't there? Because they weren't prepared. Well, why does Jesus choose only three to see Him glorified? Because it was their season. And they were prepared. There was another reason. He told them, hold this in your heart until the Son of Man. Now, why did they forget it when they all ran away? Except for one. Why did they forget what they saw? How many have ever had a dream and forgotten what they saw? Thank you. It's because maybe they couldn't be trusted. Maybe their mouth was a little bit too willing to open up. So, think about the reality of what I'm saying to you. There are times that God is going to reveal something to you, and then He'll kind of pull it away from you so that He knows that your big mouth would get you into trouble. Now, I'm not insinuating that you guys have a big mouth, but I know I do. It's been sanctified. It's getting better. But it's definitely capable of spilling out, sometimes at the wrong time, or for the wrong reason, depending on the anointing that's on you. This very early morning, I had, I would say, it was like a continuous dream. And in that dream, I can't say it was an audible voice to my ears, but it was certainly audible to me. And it was 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And it was being like a trumpet pushing into me. And I'd roll over and I would see again those words. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It was so loud that I actually woke up my wife in the dream. She says, Tim, roll over, you're dreaming. Well, I rolled over, but I heard it again.
2 Corinthians 5:17. My brain is a total blank. Now, it's one scripture that I do know by heart. But I had zero understanding of what it was. So I got up, put my glasses on, went in the family room, and wrote down 2 Corinthians 5:17, 3:15 a.m. January 3rd. Whoops, I made a boo-boo. I put 09, it should be 10. And I said, Lord, how come my brain is such a blank? How many know you can be in a blank space? So I opened my Bible and I read it and I said, oh my. And I heard, go back to bed. Which I was very grateful. And I went back to sleep. But obviously this morning, I'm now totally aware there was another dream, which is kind of private. But that 2 Corinthians 5:17, I said, Lord, what is it? What is it about that that you want me to see this morning? And so obviously, there was a hunger to come into the office and go into the Amplified. Because I already read in the NIV, but I wanted to go into the Amplified to see if there was a little bit more. So in the Amplified it says, therefore if any person is engrafted, the engrafted word is in parentheses. Therefore, if any person is in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creature altogether, a new creation. The old, previous moral and spiritual condition, in parentheses again, previous moral and spiritual condition, has passed away. How many would like to see the old? Did you hear me? Creation. Previous moral spiritual condition pass away. I say, what are you getting at? How about your silly criticalness of everything you do wrong? Wouldn't it be nice to just get rid of that? See, that's what he wants to do. But you won't agree with him. You're on your own conditions. Previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and the new has come. Behold, the fresh and the new has come. Now, those of you who don't know Darlene, don't know how can this little tiny ball of fire can come to life when God does something special for her. Well, if you want a confirmation, she bubbled in here, jumping up and down, making a declaration. Come on, girl. Put your Bible down. Come on. You were the confirmation. You were the confirmation. You have no idea, but you just confirmed it. A new creation. And I didn't say it to you.
Yes, you did.
But now would you share with the body what happened to you this week?
Well, I've been reading this book by Chuck Swindoll about grace. And I really dug in, shut the TV off, kind of left the computer behind and really dug my feet in this week. And as you know, I struggle with weight. I struggle with hoarding things for school. I struggle with books. I got to have books because I never had books as a kid. And through this week, God showed me that he took those shackles and let them loose. And he took away everything. He took away the eating. He took away the wanting to have the books, wanting to have all my school stuff, just wanting to have everything. And I am a new person. I am free. Free, free, free. Free. The shackles are no longer there hanging, dragging behind me as I go to the cupboard and stuff like that. No longer there. I get up and I go, oh, I'm not bound to that anymore. And I walk away. Got on the Facebook and have some friends that homeschool their three children after she wanted my school stuff that I was going through. Now I have boxes and I haven't even gone to my storage yet. She was thrilled because she said things are coming to come. My books, I'm ready to pack up. My books, which were my treasure, no longer bound to me. So I am free, and you all can be free indeed. And that, and now that I am free, I can jump off that cliff with my girlfriend over there, and we will soar together. So that just, it was just.
I thought 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Exactly.
Try it out. A new creation.
Just, I wasn't expecting anything, but I went in to dig my feet in, and I wasn't coming out, and so I was freed, and I am free indeed. Free from the bondage. I can't begin to tell you. I mean, I stayed in pajamas for 2 days. I was so excited.
And it was legal?
And I didn't leave the apartment. I was just so, and I just was like, looking behind me in a shocked world. They were no longer to be found.
Did you get the message? Would you give the Lord a clap offering? Thank you. You see, grace is the only answer. Listen to it again. If any person is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. Behold, the fresh and the new has come. Why is it happening to her and not to you and me? Huh? Oh, yes, it is. Haven't received the revelation? The time is now, because, see, everyone comes to the cross. Yes? Everyone decides, well, I'm going to let him and his death be a reality to me, and his resurrection comes into me when I'm ready. When are you ready? When you're ready. Now, that means that she was ready this week. You can be prepared in the next few days. But until you make the declaration out of your mouth that you are a new creation, the old will capture you and hold you bound. Romans 10, 9 and 10. When you declare with your mouth that you were saved, salvation is a reality. Why does it have to be declared out of your mouth and believed with your heart? That's the formula. Okay? If you want to be able to drive down to Boston and decide to do it on an empty tank, how far are you going to get? Depends on how much fuel. You ain't going to get very far. So if you got a little wisdom, you put some fuel in. Right? If you've got a little bit of wisdom, you'll start declaring what God says about you instead of what you think about yourself. Because I hate to tell you, your stinking thinking keeps you in depression. Your stinking thinking keeps me in depression.
Amen.
Whoa, look at your neighbor. Say, my stinking thinking can keep me in depression. It's up to me to change it. It's up to me to declare that I am a new creation. And it's happening now. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. It's happening when? Now is the day of salvation. Now. Right now. Not next week. Not next year. Now. See, it's up to you. God has given you all authority. Mark chapter 16. He's given you all authority. Last week I pushed your buttons. And I reminded you that unless you honor your father and your mother, unless you honor God, unless you honor your boss, don't think you're going to get a raise. Except maybe a raise with his foot. Out the door. Now, why? Because it's the formula God uses for you to humble yourself. This week I was in Daniel. And if you look at Daniel, he says to the king that's about to get slaughtered,
mentally. Oh, I wish it was somebody else that you know, had this dream, but you had this horrible dream about this man that's going to become like an animal for 7 years. I wish it was somebody else. But then he gives them the formula. But if you repent and change your mind and get an attitude change, humble yourself, then the dream could vanish. God gave him 12 months. 12 months to humble himself. 12 months to change his mind. And you know what? At the end of 12 months, he became like an animal. Why? Because he was so proud of what he did, and he thought he was the answer to everybody's problem. He would not honor God. But God is more than able to humble the proud. He's more than able to humble your attitude about yourself and about others. And he wants you to be successful. And I believe what God was trying to say to me this morning during the night was, you are a new creation now. Not next year. Not 10 years from now. Oh yes, it's procedural. But I believe he wants this to be now. That's why it wouldn't let go. I believe. I can't tell you. I wrote down, I must have heard it 20 times. It could be 30 times or 40 more. I don't know how many times I heard it. But it was so loud in my head that it could have been like a trumpet in my ear. So I'm not going to let you go. I'm going to remind you. Verse 13. For if we are besides ourselves, it is God and concerns Him. If we are in our right minds, it is for your benefit. For the love of Christ controls and urges and impels us because we are of the opinion and conviction that if one died for all, then all have died. And He died for all, so that all those who live might live no longer to and for themselves, but to and for Him who died and was raised again for their sake. So in other words, get rid of the selfishness. That's simple. If you think you're the beginning and the end of everybody's day, you need an attitude change. If everybody has to be perfect around you in order for you to have a happy day, get over yourself. Get over it. If you have these types of thought patterns, they're not coming from God. They're pulling you down and they're trying to destroy you. But I'm here to tell you that you are a new creation. That what Jesus did on that cross, He did it for you. And He did it for me. Consequently, from now on, we estimate and regard no one from a human point of view in terms of natural standards or values. Even though we once did estimate Christ from a human viewpoint and as a man, yet now, again it's now, we have such knowledge of Him that we know Him no longer in terms of our flesh. Meaning, the problem that Peter had was he was focusing on Jesus and all His flesh. And St. Paul is saying, Peter, you did it wrong. You were focusing on getting rid of the enemy. But the enemy was within you. So whose enemies are you trying to get rid of? Yours or somebody else's, so that they can at least have a decent day so that you can be off the hook. I mean, after all, if I want a perfect day, everybody's going to be rotating around my needs. Yeah! See, self is really your enemy. And all that selfishness has to go. And when you become selfless,
you'll be looking to whom you can bless. Yes? Uh-oh. Hold on, because this is needed.
Oh.
Yep. That ties in with this. And it's in Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many.
Uh-huh. For many. He was put into the ground so that we would come to life. And life to the fullest. The accuser has come in order to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. And when you listen to that and you declare it from your mouth, who do you become an ambassador for? How many have seen their mouth be an ambassador for hell? I have. Did I like it? No. Did I see it? Sometimes. After the fact. Sometimes I saw it right away, but most of the time it's after the fact. And then there's reflection. And I, oh my God, Lord, I really blew it. And then the enemy usually starts to condemn. And if I listen to him, I'm in trouble. That's why there's grace. Exactly. And you need to shout grace at yourself. Yeah. So the first person on the agenda for giving grace is me to me. From God.
Ooh.
Close your eyes. Put your hand over your heart. Say, I'm going to give self some grace. I'm going to keep giving myself grace until I become the overcomer that God has called me to be. So get ready, world. This new creation is going to declare what God says. Not what I think. Not what I have believed. Or what others have laid on me. Because they have opinions. And their opinions could be coming from hell. Can you relate? If you relate, put your hand way up. Look around. Look around at the hand. Because you see, the war is right inside of my brain. The war to change it is the Word of God coming out of my heart and my mouth, confessing what I believe about me. You know, when the old creation starts dying, there is an intense war that's going on. And I mean, it's not make-believe. It is real. And the enemy will tell you that you've just gone insane. You're out of your right mind. You're absolutely right, God. I am out of my right mind. The enemy is trying to take over, and I'm not going to declare what he says about me. I'm going to declare what God says about me. No matter what the enemy tells me, I am going to declare what his promise is in spite of my emotions, in spite of my circumstances. You know, I can't tell you how many levels of bondage that I was in. I have no remembrance of that. Because you see, the new creation now has got a hold of me, and I'm happy. Oh, you say, how can you be happy in the midst of all the things that are happening? Because I know who's in control. It's not me. It's not laid on me. It's God taking care of me. My sister says, I can now get rid of some of this stuff because God's going to supply. It's already packed. I'm free to give it away. You know,
There are times that we hold on to stuff and we become pack rats because of fear. Fear is not your friend. Fear is not your friend. I'll give you an example. Many years ago, our two little grandsons were dressed up in little white suits at my parents' 50th wedding anniversary. And we have their photograph that was actually made into an oil painting that we hold and cherish very, very sweetly to our hearts. Okay? And they were 3 and 5 years old. And they had those little white suits on and white shoes, little pink and gray tie, little white shirt. And this went into storage in one of our closets. And this was maybe, oh, my God, 20 years ago. And I said to my wife, we should give this away because, you know, somebody should really get the use out of this. We should really give it away. Oh, no, she says, I can't do it. I says, okay. You can't do it, you can't do it. So 3-4 years went by, and we moved it from one closet to another, and I said, honey, we should really give this away because she had them cleaned. They were in each individual plastic bag. They were all ready to go. Nope, can't do it, honey. I can't. I just can't do it. Okay? Last year, we went through the closet. They wore them in 1988. Yoo-hoo! Are you with me? They are now totally discolored, and we had to throw them away. Oh, don't be depressed. It was a lesson. See, if we would have given them away, somebody would have got blessed. Now we had to throw them away. Because we were submitting to fear. Okay? How many of you can relate? Forgive yourself quickly. Change it. See, change it. Do what you need to do. And that includes your closet.
My daughter has a closet by her room. And the other day we went through it, she had baby toys from when she's only 11. So we packed them up, and everything is packed and ready to go. All his clothes, everything. She's finally getting rid of it.
Glory to God.
Yes.
And somebody's going to get blessed. Praise God. Yeah. Praise God. I shared this with my wife's family just a few days ago. Actually, it was New Year's Eve. And in fact, I talked to you about 1988, 1 week before my parents' 50th wedding anniversary. I have a biological sister that's in Montreal dying of cancer. I get a telephone call. I believe it was on a Wednesday or Thursday, and my brother says, I'm going up to Montreal. This is Gaston. He said, I'm going up to see our sister. He said, I've got so many things to do. And they were in cahoots with us to prepare for my parents' wedding anniversary, which was happening in Canada, in the same church where they were married 50 years before. And to make a long story short, my father had had a terrible time at the hospital for almost 6 weeks in January, and the doctor was telling him he'd never leave the country, blah, blah, blah. To make a long story short, he made a declaration, I am going to be at my party. And so the last week, end, which was 1 week from the 23rd of April, we were supposed to get all the last fittings of their clothing, and, you know, there's 1,000 things to do.
So my brother calls me back on Thursday night, and he says, you really got to go to Montreal. He says, your sister wants to see you. She's the oldest one born to my mother. She was my half-sister. And she knew the Lord a little bit because we had prayed many times. I had spent a week with her a few years before. And so, reluctantly, on Saturday morning around 5 o'clock, I got into my car and drove to Montreal. And I walked into her room and anointed her with oil, prayed with her. She was on morphine. She knew she was ready to go. She looked at me and she said, you see that guy out there in the hallway? I says, yeah, which was her youngest son because her oldest son had passed away. She says, that's why you're here. She says, now go do your job. Because he was so angry and bitter at God. Because he didn't want his mother to be dying. He was just one container full of anger. Needless to say, I prayed and asked God to help me, and we spent some quality time together. And by Sunday afternoon, I've got to head back because I've got work on. I've got to do on Monday morning. But as I'm driving back, those of you who know the Montreal area, in between Montreal and St. John's, Quebec, I would say there's a section of 30-something miles, maybe 40, where you're like riding on a plateau. There is nothing. It's flat as a pancake. There is nothing in any direction, right, north, south, east, and west. Doesn't matter. There's nothing. There's not even a stream. It's just flat land. And you can see little tiny mountains in the background way, way out. They only look like 2 inches high. And now I'm kind of saying, oh, God, you know, did I do your will or was I bowing to my brother? I mean, you know, he was pressuring me. Did I do what you needed to have me do? I need something to let me know if I've lost my brain and, you know, my wife is stuck with all the work and my dad's not healthy. And so as I'm kind of crying out to the Lord, you know, when it's flat like that, it's a perfect, beautiful, sunny day. I mean, I'm looking in the front of me at the highway because there's nothing else to look at, totally alone in the car. And all of a sudden, it's like way out in the horizon, I see this little object, and it's heading towards me. And I can't make out what it is. But I'm saying, God, you know, all this time I've taken for my sister, and I pray it was you, because I really don't know. And the more I'm saying those words, that thing is just coming in, and it's nosediving right towards me. And at first, it looked like a plane. But then, it wasn't a plane. It was this intense white dove. And he didn't touch my windshield, but I swear to God, his feathers must have been blown away. Because that's how down to the front of the hood that he came. And of course, for the next half hour, I shook and I praised God because he had given me a message. I'm with you. I know you've done my work. Today, his work was, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creature altogether, a new creation, the old, previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and the new has come. Close your Bibles. Put them on your seats. I want you to stand. I want you to lift your hands towards the Lord. I want you to close your eyes. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm a person. And I know I'm engrafted in the anointing. The Messiah. He is a new creation altogether. That's me. A brand new creation. The old moral and spiritual condition has passed away.
Behold, the fresh and the new has come. It's me. I'm fully alive in Christ. The anointing is on me to be an ambassador to the Lord wherever He sends me. And the most important person in this relationship is me with me. I'm going to love me. I'm going to unconditionally love me. I'm going to keep pouring grace into me from God until I overcome every trial, every hardship, every area of unbelief. Because I am that new creation. I'm telling you, neighbor, I'm a new creation. The old has passed away. I am fully alive in Christ. Now look into your neighbor and eyeball them right now. Say, I'm telling you now, you're going to enjoy this trip. 2010 is a time of recreation and resurrection for God's glory. Hallelujah. Give him a hug.